Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running with Beginner Runner Village podcast number 34, Running Clubs for Beginner Runners. You don't want to run today, right? You're just not in the mood. It hasn't been a good day at work and you're beat. Once you get home, you're tempted to pour yourself a glass of wine, put your feet up, and hit up a Netflix movie. But what if you were supposed to meet a group of friends? A group you meet every Tuesday, and it's Tuesday. You probably would put on your sneakers and head for the meetup spot. Or maybe this is a more fitting scenario. You put on your running shoes and get your butt out the door. But as you run on your favorite path, you notice other people running in groups, laughing and chatting up a storm. And you wonder what that would be like. You wonder if you're ready for that. The happiest, most satisfied, most enthusiastic runners seem to be the ones who run with friends. Now, that's a generalization, of course. There are some people who always prefer to run alone, and certainly virtually every runner wants to run solo sometimes, but sometimes is the key word. As someone who's been running a lot of years, make that 39, and has been a member of three other running clubs before starting my own, I'll tell you that it's more fun with a group. It's more fun to run with friends and in a running club. You have many friends. I could go on and on and on about the benefits of a running club, but I have an idea you already can imagine the benefits. What you need is the club. I'd say as beneficial as a running club is for experienced runners, it could and can be much more helpful, much more valuable to people at the very beginning of their running career. I'm talking about you. Here's what I see as the two reasons most people, especially beginner runners, don't have or don't join a running club. One, this is the biggie, they're intimidated. It's the number one reason. But I've got to tell you, you're not alone. Many runners with plenty of experience don't run with a club for that same reason. They are intimidated. They think that you have to be fast to be in a running club. Everywhere I go in Tampa, when I meet runners, I invite them to run with us. But they so often say, "Oh, I'm not fast enough." Now, this person could be running an 8-minute mile, a 7-minute mile, a 10-minute mile, or a 14-minute mile. But they're all intimidated. They all assume the other people are faster and that they're really serious about their running. Two, the other reason is that they literally don't have a running club available to them. This might be because they're in a very small town, but it also might be because there aren't many runners in their town. Another issue, though, is that sometimes the running club actually is a club of fast runners that doesn't really welcome slower runners. Unfortunately, there are certainly clubs like that, but there are many that are comprised of regular runners, middle and end of the packers. This podcast came up from a discussion on the Facebook wall in my private Mojo for Running coaching group. Most of those people are very early in their running career, and I asked for their input on this topic. Here are their questions and my answers. Pros and cons of organizing group runs versus informal. Both are super helpful to your running. You should know that being a member of an organized running group in no way precludes any participation in any informal group. In fact, being a member of an organized group makes it easier to participate in more informal groups because that's how you hook up with the other people. I'll break it down, but I do want to make a critical point. A great club with the purpose of serving all runners and with particular emphasis on being inclusive and supporting middle of the pack and beginner runners is very different from the average running club. And I think that's why a large percentage of running clubs during recent years have had trouble attracting new members. Clubs that have been around for 20 years may be comprised largely of faster runners. And I put air quotes around faster because, of course, that's a relative term. But what I mean is that sometimes the whole goal of the club is to be fast. And if you can't keep up, then you're not going to be happy. In fact, you'll be left behind.
I wish I didn't have to say that, but it is true. These clubs often have a hard time maintaining their membership these days, though. However, not to worry too much, because many new organized clubs have sprung up. In the last few years, clubs catering to the needs of a much more diverse group are much more common. The newer clubs are more likely to be catering specifically to slower runners or beginner runners, so don't worry too much. The thing is that most runners aren't fast by most people's definition. I find that most people do want to improve, but it's not the end-all and be-all. They hope for their times to drop, or they work towards being able to run longer distances. But they're not hell-bent on it. It's not why they run. They enjoy running, like the health benefits, appreciate that running means they can more easily maintain their weight, and above all else, they thrive on the running culture of the group, if they have a group. Living in a big city or large metropolitan area has the advantage of likely having half a dozen to a dozen running clubs, meaning there is something for everyone. In such cases, there certainly will be clubs that cater to the elite runners. Those are probably the ones that have been around the longest. But there are likely to be women-only clubs and clubs that cater to middle-of-the-pack and slower runners. After all, there are many, many, many more slower runners and middle-of-the-pack runners than elite runners. I mean, like, probably 20 to 1. For that reason, there's a good likelihood that most cities will have a club that welcomes you, that welcomes beginner runners. And one thing to consider is that many running stores have running groups, and many have groups that cater to beginner runners. You're their bread and butter. The advantages of an organized club are these. Only an actual club will likely have official, regular social events. Only an actual club will likely have a newsletter. And the bigger it is, the more often that newsletter is likely to come out. Only an actual club will likely have a website and a Facebook page and be active in social media, which today is a huge, huge element in the success of any club. Those last two are critical to communication, which is essential, really essential, to a group of any size. Only an organized group will plan destination races. An organized group will likely have more volunteers to help with putting out water stops or any other tasks. An organized group may be an RRCA member club. An organized group will often be able to get discounts to certain races. An organized group will likely have club shirts and maybe hats and other logo items, which enhances the experience in a variety of ways. If you don't go to a group run, if you've been attending consistently, but you have been going to group runs consistently, what'll happen is that a few people may wonder where you are. Hopefully that'll happen. And someone might even text you. But it's not going to create a problem for the other runners if you don't show up. This is nice. On the other hand, if you make plans to meet just one other person, then if you don't show up, if you change your mind, if something comes up, you'll have to let them down, or you'll feel like you're letting them down. And if they're not comfortable running alone, that's bad. Then because you decided not to run, they don't get to run. With a big club, you know they're running no matter what. That means less pressure for you if you really need to do something else that day rather than join the group run. You don't have to let anyone down. This is a double-edged sword, though, because sometimes it's helpful to know that people are expecting you. As for me, I feel that having several group run options each week is perfect because I have a dependable group, meaning plenty of options to run with plenty of people. But if something comes up and I can't be there, they'll still all be running without me, and that's fine. It's the best situation, I think. Definitely most important is that an organized group will likely have multiple group training options each week. That means you're going to get to run more. The larger the group, the more different places you'll see, the more different paces you'll see. In a group of only 20, there may not be anyone running slower than a 10-minute per mile pace, which is too fast for beginners. But if there are 40 people, You'll have all paces from a 7-minute mile to a 15-minute mile. And you may have people that are doing a walk run that are doing a 20-minute mile. And you may well have more people going slower than going fast. Not only that, but you'll also have people doing a wider range of mileage, some doing 3 miles and some doing 20. Another situation is that with a big club, you're going to have more opportunities. I already said that, but I want to point out another benefit of that. It's safer. The more people you run with at any given time, the safer it is. There's safety in numbers. So you join a big club that's got a lot of opportunities for runs. That means you have a lot more opportunities to run in a safe situation. It means you're going to get more miles in for sure. Now, are there disadvantages? Yes. One is that in a big club, you may always feel like there are many people you don't know. And if you don't attend the group events regularly, it will be harder to get to know individuals. But this is very important. While it may feel easier to get lost in a big club, the huge advantage is that in the larger club, it's the more people that show up at each run. More people do show up at each run, so that means more people at each pace. At our main weekly run on Saturday, we'll get up to 80 people. But I'd say we average around probably 50. Maybe 55. Sometimes I can't think of any other negatives of a big club. The bigger club, the more opportunities of all kinds. What about advantages of a small running group that is not organized into an official club? Here I'm talking about a group of from a handful of runners to say a dozen who just meet regularly to run. Often these type of groups are organized to some slight event by having a group on meetup.com. If you do that, you have to have one person who handles the meetup account, but there is not anything else that has to be organized about it. Meetup.com is just a good way to get the word out. And you can do a search on meetup.com to find groups with the same interest in your area. So if you go to meetup.com and you put in running, you can find groups on there that are very often very small. Well, absolutely, the biggest advantage of this is that it's easy to get to know everyone. And when everyone in the group knows everyone else, it does a better job of keeping you accountable. If you don't show up for a run, you'll have people texting you to say, "Hey, where are you? Are you coming?" With a smaller group, it's easier to go out to dinner or to breakfast after a run. That said, I can tell you that in an organized club, there tend to be groups of people who hang out together at the group runs, sort of like unofficial subgroups, usually people that become a closer group within the larger group because they're about the same speed or they're training for the same race. You'll find this sometimes with beginners. They can form an unofficial closer group within the big group because they are beginners. People stick with the people that they have the most in common with. And as far as going out to eat together, larger groups tend to break up into smaller groups within the whole. Certainly, if we have 80 people at a group run on the weekends, we may have 10 different groups that go out to breakfast afterwards. But it's all a spontaneous decision. There might be 5 people in one group or 10 in another. We certainly don't all 80 go to the same place. These are questions from members of my beginner program. Is it okay to join a running group that isn't specified as a beginner group? Absolutely. But if I were you, I'd contact the president or membership director first to find out if there are other people who are beginners or who are slower runners. If not, you may end up running alone, and then there's not much point. So, I think doing a little research first will help you know which club to join. And when I say join, I mean join on a run. You definitely shouldn't have to join the club before running with them the first time. I highly recommend trying out several group activities before joining, and I can't imagine any club that wouldn't welcome that. Question: should you already be able to run a certain number of miles prior to joining? Not necessarily, but again, the key is to find out if there are other beginners. Most clubs don't have any kind of rule like that, but I suppose some could. Question. I'm anxious, worried about being left way behind in an unfamiliar area if I can't keep up. This is a valid worry. Once, even though I had been running for many years, I got lost because I was running with a club, and I started out with a group that ended up, and I ended up feeling like they were going too fast for me. So I dropped back, thinking I would run with the next pack behind us. But it ended up that they were too far back, and I was caught between the two groups. Now, it wasn't dangerous because we were in a nice neighborhood. We were actually running around a golf course. But I ended up trying to find my way back and getting lost. It pretty much ruined my morning. I think to avoid that, you're better off making very sure you have someone to run with who isn't too fast for you, and even then, make sure you know the route. It really was my fault that morning because I tried to keep up with a group that was too fast. Question. Are there etiquette rules for running with a group? Great question. Yes. If you're walking or running slower, if you happen to be ahead of other runners that are faster than you, or if there are several of you together, you just don't want to spread out and block the sidewalk or the roadway or the path. This goes for cyclists too, where we runners sometimes will share a trail with cyclists. So the rule is slower traffic to the right. Stay two abreast and give the faster runner or bikers room to pass on your left. Another thing to remember is not to wear headphones and try to listen to music or something else at a group run. If you have headphones on at a group run, it sends the message that you don't want to be social. But that's kind of the whole point, isn't it? It'll be hard to make friends if you're listening to music. And you might say, well, I just brought the music in case I end up running alone. The thing is, if somebody runs up on you and they see you with headphones in your ears, they're just going to probably go right by. It makes others uncomfortable because they don't know whether to speak to you or not. Also, and related to that, is just always be super friendly to everybody, whether they're in your group or not. Try not to be intimidated by faster runners. In our club, the fastest runners are very accepting of the newer, beginner, or slower runners. It's more fun for everyone if everyone feels like a big, friendly family. Most experienced runners are happy to mentor newer runners. If you're feeling intimidated, just remember that everyone was a beginner once. Kristen asks, is it helpful if the running group has an identified coach and offers training? Well, that depends entirely on if that's what you want. I think it's nice to have that option. The people that work with our coach, Maria, absolutely love the workouts, and it's important to note that she welcomes all runners. A good rule of thumb, though, is that you are a candidate for track workouts or speed workouts if you can run a 5K nonstop. If you're not there yet, then focus on that endurance first. Kristen also asks, how important is it if the group has a website and distributes email? I think it's hugely important because it makes it so much easier to organize activities. I can't imagine my club ever growing to 480 members without social media, but we are a unique club. Few clubs maintain a current website and send a weekly newsletter, but we do. My experience in other clubs was that the website was seldom updated, and some clubs only send out a newsletter every few months. More frequent communication, though, is extremely valuable. But if a club suits you, and you're able to get the information in some form, that's the key. I certainly would not join for that reason alone. I certainly would not join for that reason alone. On the other hand, with the ease of organizing and dispersing information on Facebook, I'd say if a club doesn't have a good, informative Facebook page or group, then it probably indicates that they don't have many members that are enthusiastic about the club's activities, because it's just so easy to take advantage of the opportunities of Facebook. Even for people who don't like to use Facebook, they definitely should be there, if just because they could participate in the group's discussion. They don't have to put anything on their personal page. It could be completely private. But if they join Facebook, then they can participate in the group conversation, and that is essential. Should there be multiple runs in different locations? Well, that's ideal, but it has to be a pretty large club to be able to organize multiple runs in multiple locations. This is great when they pull it, when they can pull it off. That makes the club much more viable for more people,
especially in a large metropolitan area where it might take 40 minutes to go from one side of town to the other. So if you're trying to do that early in the morning before work or after work, it becomes difficult.
Should a running group specialize? Marathoners, walk-to-runners, etc. Well, I think everyone is different. Usually, there will be a group training for marathons at any given time, but most people don't train for marathons year-round. They may do one per year, so you usually won't find a whole club committed to one distance. Should there be educational opportunities? I think some people like this, but it's not as important as you might think because anymore, you can get information from experts online very easily. I've been a member of a couple of running clubs before I started Run Tampa, and those clubs used to have guest speakers at our meetings, which were also socials. This didn't really seem to be successful because the club members just wanted one thing. They wanted to sit and talk. It seemed like the whole time the guest speaker was speaking, we were like kids whispering to each other, or wanting to. I think it's far better to have any educational opportunities separated from club socials. They should be separate clinics. These are often appropriately sponsored by running stores, and they will help to promote them as well. How do you know when you're ready to join a group? Really, this varies. If you find a group with other beginners, then you're ready right now. Now, of course, we should talk about how to find a group. One, ask at every local running store. If they don't have one, they may know of one. Two, Google the name of your city and the word running or the words running club. Three, check on meetup.com, as I mentioned before. Four, ask people at popular running locations.
Five, go to races, even if it's just to watch, and keep an eye out for groups of runners. Six, many times, it's very popular today for pubs to actually sponsor group runs. There's a group run near where I live one day a week, and it gets a lot of people. So check that out. If you have a lot of brew pubs in your area, you'll probably find that several in your town actually sponsor group runs. My advice is to join a group if at all possible. But if you go to a group run and end up running by yourself, don't feel bad and don't give up. At the next group run, you may make a friend who you'll be running with for years. I'd say unless it's really obvious that the club doesn't welcome beginners, then give it three tries before moving on. There may be other slower people like you who really, really would like to meet you. So give it a few weeks because not everybody comes every week. But if they meet you and they know you're going to be there next week, boom, they'll start coming regularly. And if you're both there every week, then the next time a new person, a beginner, shows up, you'll be there to welcome them. And in that way, the beginner contingent grows. And the bigger the beginner contingent is, the more fun it's going to be for you all. Here's one more thing I feel like I should mention. Managing a running club requires many man hours, many more than most people would ever imagine. Yet most clubs only charge around $25 to $30 a year. It's not really a money-making proposition. That's the best bargain in town. So try not to be too demanding. A club could spend that much just on putting out water and providing post-run snacks. Now, I've said this before. If there's not a club that suits you, just find one or two people to run with. And when you meet other beginners, invite them to join you. And before you know it, you'll have a great unofficial running group. You can do it, and it'll make a huge difference. Be very friendly to everybody you meet. Pretty soon, you will have some running friends. Now a reminder. In January, we'll have our first beginner runner retreat from January 19th to 22nd. It'll be a great time to really launch your running career, or to brush up, or to just enjoy a great low-key, no-stress weekend with other beginner runners. I can't wait. I know you'll enjoy the camaraderie in downtown Tampa, where we'll be at that time of year, is really spectacular. I hope you'll go to the Tampa Running Retreats website and check out the slideshow I posted there.
This is a done-for-you beginner retreat, and I'll be doing all the coaching. I'll help you with your form, cadence, learning, what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. I'll answer your questions, and every person will get a personal coaching conference with me. Plus, this will be like getting to enjoy the camaraderie of a running group. You'll love that it's all beginners, just like you. Everyone will be able to relate. We'll have a great time. It'll be a way for you to supercharge your fitness while you're having fun. I fully expect many of our retreaters will be back the very next year. So you'll become great friends with the others and look forward to your Mojo for Running yearly retreat weekend. If you've got a group of friends you run with, this is perfect. You should all come. I went to a running camp in the summer about 10 years ago with about a dozen friends. After that, I went to it again with the same dozen friends the next year. And later, after I had started Run Tampa, I went back. Only that time, I took 20 people, 20 members of my Run Tampa group. It was a great way to enjoy a running getaway without having to do the planning myself. We've got tiered pricing too, so check it out now, because you can save a lot of money by registering before the end of October when the price goes up. And we only have room for 20 people, so you want to get your deposit in soon. Now here's today's quote. Courage does not always roar. Sometimes it's the quiet voice at the end of the day saying, "I will try again tomorrow."